Hey, what's going on, dudes? It's another episode. It's the 100th episode of Wrestling With Myself. Myself being your host for every goddamn podcast since the inception of this abortion, Hacker Scotty O'Shea. I know a lot of people, I think the past two or three podcasts have not been uploaded for whatever reason. I think the last podcast that is actually online for you to listen to is the Steve Brown Nugget Challenge, which we did in 2017. I think it was the 30th. It was the same night as the UFC pay-per-view. It is currently March 8th, year of our Lord, 2018, and there's two podcasts floating in, I don't know what you'd call it, online purgatory, I guess. Because we are at episode 100. Hopefully by the time this episode goes up, the two lost episodes will be up as well, 98 and 99. I know I promised you I tried so hard to have a sex worker, an exotic dancer, you know, a rub and tugger to come on for my 100th episode. I really wanted to do that. I was close many times. I tried really hard. But boy, oh boy, is it hard to get scheduling right with a girl in the adult industry. And we were supposed to have a stripper come on with me and Steve last week, and then she canceled last minute. And then last night she was supposed to come back, and I couldn't do it last night, last minute. And I've tried to do phone interviews with people, Skype interviews with people. It's just not working out. I can't stand waiting this long. I have totally backed myself into a corner promising this podcast, and I'm going back on my promise. Hear me out right now. It's happening. The adult industry worker will not be on this podcast, but she will be on in a later one. I just couldn't hold out without recording any longer. So like I said, I'm digressing once again. Hopefully by the time this goes online, episode 100, you will also be able to hear episode 98 and 99 that were recorded in like January. And for some reason, they've just never made it online. I've sent it. I got to get on Matt Grant, I guess. He probably forgot about it because he's been working 50 hours a week. Regardless, this is the 100th episode of Wrestling With Myself. And it's also about 3 years to go to the day that I started this podcast, which, if you're good at math, equals out to about 33 and a third podcasts a year. You know, so that's pretty good. That's about one. Every 3 weeks? No. I release about three a month. That's not right. Yeah, about three a month. That's pretty good. That's better than I thought. So you can go, once every 10 days, I give you a new episode of Wrestling With Myself. You probably download it, you listen to it, you make it 5 minutes in. The audio quality hasn't improved at all. I'm still using the same microphone I bought on the day I started this bullshit. So yeah, if you've listened to one episode, 10 episodes, they're all 100. Thank you very much. I'm going to continue to do it. Even if I have no listeners ever, I don't care. I love doing this. So if you enjoy it, just, rest easy knowing that these are going to be, start turning out a lot faster than they have been lately. I hate that, yeah, I tried so hard getting a sex worker on this one that I just kept pushing it back, because I didn't want to release the episode without releasing what I promised, but I couldn't do it anymore. So I did what my original idea was at, like, episode 40, and that was if I was to ever get to 100 episodes or some kind of milestone episode, and let's be real, 100 episodes of mostly me just talking to myself into a microphone is pretty amazing. Some of these podcasts are like 3 hours long as well. So, what I did, I went back, I downloaded, re-downloaded every goddamn episode I've ever done, and I scanned through every goddamn episode I've ever done, and tried to take out some best of clips, we can call it, even though it's not the best of. And that'll be on the back end of this podcast. That'll take up the majority of the podcast. I just wanted to start this one off like usual, talking to myself while my dogs sit on the couch and I'm in my basement. Steve's not here today. He's coming over tomorrow. Maybe we'll record another one. If it's up to me, honestly, I'd record. I'd have this like a CNN news radio show where we do everything but talk about the news. I'd release one every day, and I get no money from this bullshit. I just enjoy doing it. I enjoy throwing my thoughts out to the universe, and if somebody likes it, if somebody agrees with it, or better yet, if somebody laughs with it, no matter how much the potty humor may amaze you or, you know, disgust you, as long as you're listening, I'm happy. And even if you're not listening, I'm happy, because I'm pretty easy to please. So here's to many, many more episodes. Here's to me being a big fat liar and not delivering what I promised. And here's to me hopefully editing this all good enough that you can actually follow along. I actually, to set this best of up with me, you know, taking clips from prior episodes, I went through all the episodes. This is just me filling time, by the way, that I'm telling you this, but it's also giving you a little behind the music look of how technological de-advanced I am. Had a stroke there while I was talking, if you could hear it. But what I really did was I listened, I found the parts I'd like on what episode, I'd write down the time cues. So look at, I have a notebook beside me right now. It says episode 15, 51 minutes to 54 minutes and 24 seconds. And then it gives a description of what the, that episode best of it's going to be about. That one in particular would was Jerk Off Stories with Josh Alexander. And then what I would do, I'd take the phone that I'm recording from my microphone right now. It's hooked up to my phone. I put it beside my speaker, and then I'd play that section of that podcast as a record on my phone. So if you hear me like squeaking in the chair, I was playing video games for a while, I was on my laptop for a while. If you just hear ambient noise and you don't think that's actually from the podcast, it's because I'm just trying to be quiet beside my microphone as it records from my speaker. So that took fucking forever. And then I had to upload it all onto my computer. I haven't edited any of it yet, so God willing, I get through all that. And hopefully, I know I'm already so late on releasing this podcast, but now I really feel like the crunch is on and I want to get it out to you. So hopefully, this comes out to you guys sooner than later. As I said, it's March 8th right now. Hopefully, you get it. Hopefully, it's out there no later than there's a chance I'm not going to finish it tonight. Tomorrow night's Friday. I'll stay up all night doing this if I have to. And then hopefully by March 10th, the Saturday, you can kill a couple hours listening to the best of Wrestling With Myself the past 100 episodes. And the quality's really shit on some episodes. I apologize. Hopefully you can listen. If you tap out almost immediately, that's fine. This is for my own ego that I just get this out into the universe. I said I'd do something for the 100th episode, and now I'm trying to go good on this. So I don't know what else to talk about. I don't really want to. This isn't going to be a normal podcast where I'm just talking shop. I just wanted to give you a little intro to that. Thank you so much for listening, guys. If you guys have any kind of questions, comments, if you know somebody that wants to come on, if you want to come on, don't feel like an idiot in asking. If you're willing to donate some time to my podcast, I'm more than willing to talk to you. I know a lot of people have wanted to come on the podcast, but they don't want to ask, and because they don't want to feel like a mark for themselves or anything. It's never anything like that. If you're willing to donate some time for me, I'm more than willing to have you on my podcast. It's a help me help you situation anyways. Thank you to everybody who's ever come on the podcast, especially if you've come over to record, which is 99% of everyone. For real, I don't put this over enough, but I really genuinely appreciate people donating their time to come talk to me. Matt Grant and the Weekly Wrestling Podcast, guys, thank you so much for uploading this, making it so easy for me. I do such minimal work, and this podcast makes it online each and every week. I feel like I take advantage of you guys. I don't mean to. It's just you guys make it so easy. You're so easy to deal with. Thank you so much for that. Thank you to my family that don't listen to this podcast. I hope you continue to not listen. And if you are listening and have been listening, let's continue on just acting like you haven't heard anything and never bringing it up at family dinners or anything like that. Because I don't need to talk about that. And this is my private life that I post publicly. and I'm never going to stop, and it's exhilarating getting all your dirty little secrets out in the open, because then nobody has anything to pin you on later on. I'm babbling here, I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional, and I got to make dinner soon, and maybe even a little crank if I get this editing done in a timely manner. It's already 7 o'clock, though, and baby boy goes to bed around 9 o'clock. And when I say go to bed, I mean watch Roseanne in my bed for about 4 hours, where I then try to go to sleep, and just my restless leg syndrome doesn't allow that. So in this episode, the clips, I tried to get most guests on. If I didn't get your appearance on the show on, it's not because I couldn't find anything. It was just, I did about 18 clips, and that's about an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes, and my brain was turning into fucking mushy peas by the end of it, and I just had to quit. But, yes, thank you so much, guys. I'm just babbling. I apologize. I said this a million times. So let me cut this right now. Thanks for listening. If you make it through all the clips, God bless you. And let's make like a baby and head out, guys. Thanks so much for 100 episodes. I genuinely mean that. Peace.
And welcome, everybody, to the first, the debut, the initial episode of Wrestling With Myself with your hostess with the mostest, Hacker Scotty O'Shea. Yes, I did decide on the podcast name being Wrestling With Myself because I thought it was good, I thought it was witty, I thought it was clean, I thought it was something that looked like something you could see on iTunes one day, I thought it was something that when you researched a podcast about therapy, Wrestling With Myself would come up maybe. Maybe when you're researching a podcast about wrestling, Wrestling With Myself would come up. And who knows, maybe it might even get thrown into the comedy category. If I ever be so lucky. But thank you very much for joining us. Happy to be doing this. We've wanted to do this for a long time. And let me stop you right now. When you start thinking, you know, a few minutes into this podcast, I'm sure it's going to go, it'll sound like it. When you start going, man, this podcast sounds like a carbon copy of Bill Burr's Monday Morning Podcast. Well, I got news for you. You couldn't be any more correct. That is it exactly. I listen to a lot of podcasts, Art of Wrestling, Joe Rogan Experience, The Ross Report, The Jim Cornette Thing, Bo Stone Cold's podcast, Talk is Jericho. I try to listen to them all, but the one that made me want to start a podcast was Bill Burr. Him just rambling about nonsense for an hour just of things pertaining to his life is what I wanted to do, because my life revolves around three things. Basically, I guess, my girlfriend won't be happy when I say this, but professional wrestling, stand-up comedy, or comedy in general, and the country music. So if you like any three of those things, or a mixture of any of them, you'll probably somewhat like this podcast. And if you don't like it, well, I got nothing to say. You're probably not going to like it. But that's not saying much. So thank you very much for joining me on this ride. I don't know how long this is going to be. I'm going to try to shoot for around an hour, because I personally, when I listen to podcasts, I'm listening to them at work. I'm trying to kill time. So if I put out a podcast that's, what, 20 minutes, that doesn't get you very far. So I think if I could get to 45 minutes to an hour, I think I'm doing good. So, yes. So Wrestling With My Life. No, I messed up. Shit. Wrestling For My Life is the podcast name. I'm very, very, very unorganized right now. I even wrote notes to do this with, and I forgot them. I'll explain where I am later on. But Wrestling For My Life, we'll hit that last one in post. We don't have post. Now I'm going to turn the tables on you. Fuck, Mary, Kill, Smash Edition for Wrestling.
I don't know people.
The three names. You're going to know them.
Okay.
The three names. I'm going to go.
Oh, gosh. Please don't make it people I know, because that's it. I don't know. It was so
awkward. Kirk Warmack.
Okay.
We got Kirk Warmack. We'll go,
Please do not approach me after.
Player Uno.
Okay.
Kirk Warmack, Player Uno. I'd say Pepper, but we already know the answer. Kirk Warmack, Player Uno. And Brent Banks.
Oh, shit. Alright, I'm gonna marry Brett Brent.
His name's Blake.
Brent. I'm just gonna say Brent. I'm gonna marry Brent.
Okay.
Because he's a sweet guy.
He's the best.
In
kayfabe, he's the worst, but in real life, he's the best.
Oh, that means I gotta fucking kill.
Yep, it's the two hard ones. You can marry anyone, that's the easy one.
Oh, shoot.
Now, you've never seen Player Uno's face.
I may have.
Well, you're not supposed to.
Okay, well, I haven't then.
So I think...
So let's fuck him.
Okay, wow.
Because
I was gonna say you can kill him because you don't really know, but alright.
But if you don't know, we can, it'll be a mysterious.
You're gonna kill Kurt Warmack?
Yep.
Is it because he's got small calves?
Yep.
Okay, well, there you have it.
Real exciting part of my week also happened yesterday. So it's probably one of the most exciting points of my life ever. So I'm going to draw this out for you in long and boring fashion, as just as much as I do any of my other stories, because I'm at 32 minutes. So yeah, I'll try to kill a little more time. So yesterday, I wake up at 6:30, I start heading to work. I live in Hamilton, I work in Burlington, so I'm driving down the Skyway. I'm on the decline of the Skyway heading into Burlington. And I may or may not have received a text message. I'm not saying I did, and I'm not saying I didn't. And I'm not saying that text message was from one of my buddies named Trevor Harbison. And I'm not saying my buddy Trevor Harbison sent me a text message wondering if we could go slip and sliding soon. I'm not saying I opened that text message and looked at it while driving. And I'm not endorsing texting and driving, because I may or may not have looked down on my phone. And by the time I looked up, BOOM! I had rear-ended a black Buick Regal on my commute to work on the downway of the Skyway. So immediately I do it, and I'm just like, you're an idiot. You are an idiot. You're about to buy a house. You just hit a car. You're an absolute idiot. So as soon as I do it, and it's nothing huge at all, but it was enough that there was contact made, and both drivers realized it. So I hit my blinker. I hit it to get to the shoulder. We're going right on the shoulder. We're in like the North Shore exit lane now. And this guy follows me. And we get to the shoulder. And as soon as we park, he runs up to me. And we've parked about 10 feet away. I'm looking at his car. And I'm looking. I was like, oh my God. There is not a scratch of damage on his car. Absolutely nothing. Thank God. I'm like... Oh, thank God, this was the worst thing to happen, the worst time to happen. This man runs up to me. He's an old foreign dude, maybe Italian, Romanian, Croatian, I don't know. One of the ones that end with the I-A-N-S, one of them. He runs up to me. I roll down my window. It's like, yo, are you okay? He's like 65 years old, scrawny little guy. He's like, yes, driver's license? So I give him my driver's license, and as I hand him my driver's license, I say, hey, can I get yours? And he goes, yes, it's in my car. I'm doing this terrible, like, Chinese, like, East Indian accent for a guy who's probably Romanian. Bear with me. Paint him in any picture you want, and that's him. He runs back to his car, and all of a sudden I see the engine, the lights turn on again, and he's signaling to get over in the left lane. So I'm going, okay, we're just going to get to a safer spot to talk. Because as he was running up against me, a truck honked at him. Because we're still on, like, a busy street. We're just off to the shoulder a little, on a bridge nonetheless. So I start following. And I don't know if you know the geography, but we're on the downside of the Skyway, like I've said 10 times. And now he's driving, and we're getting close to Fairview Street, which is like a couple kilometers away. So I realized very shortly, this guy isn't finding somewhere safer to talk. This guy's literally driving away with my license. We haven't exchanged any information. Literally, he got out of his car so fast, came to my window, I gave him my license. I would have thought I was in on the act. It happened so fast. And he just got in his car and drove away. So now I'm like, this guy just stole my license. He didn't even look at my license plate. Like, he didn't have the time. So I start chasing this dude. Like, high-speed chase, 6:55 in the morning. in my 2006 Dodge Dakota that doesn't accelerate worth a damn, following like a brand new Buick Regal. So I get beside this guy. We're on the curve of Fairview. We're just right in front of like the movie theater and the Milestones at this point. So we're already a couple kilometers away. And I'm like just laying on the horn to this guy, laying it on. I'm like signaling, get the hell over. Like, we got some talking to do. I just hit you and you're running. We got some information to exchange or something. And I'm right beside him honking like an absolute obnoxious dipshit. And this man has two hands at 10 and 2 and is looking dead straight and is ignoring me entirely. So now I'm like, this guy is running. He is running from me. There is no misinterpretations. He's running, driving, mate, it would actually be. So I start chasing him, and like it's like a legit car chase. It's crazy. It was one of the most wild moments of my life. And as we're in this like heated car chase in the middle of rush hour traffic, I start laughing to myself. Like, it was one of those moments, like I have them a lot, where you kind of just have to take yourself out of the situation and just realize what the universe has granted you. And I am now in a high-speed chase with a senior citizen, because he has stolen my ID, and he is running from the scene of a crash in which I hit him.
And it was like the biggest, strangest bulge I have ever seen. And I actually messaged him and I said, excuse me, but what is in your underwear? I mean, it can't be a dick. Like, there's no way. And he's like, it's my penis. And I was like, I mean, is your, like, your dad must be a fucking elephant in the pants, because this thing was insane. And he's like, yeah, you know, he's like, I've noticed that a lot of girls find it attractive, but when it comes to having sex with it, they don't like it so much. I'm like, no shit, like, because when the thought of that thing poking our cervix gets in our head, of course we're gonna be afraid of it, you know. So I was like, oh my god, like, I gotta delete this thing. This has just gone on for way too long.
Okay. As a girl who has seen many a wiener in her life, whether it be via text or picture or real life, is there anything flattering about a wiener pic, a dick pic?
Honestly, in my opinion, not really. Like, it's fun to see, like, sometimes guys have odd-shaped dicks, and that's...
to the left?
Exactly, like, curves, or, like, some guys will be, like, uncircumcised, and it'll be, like, just really strange-looking, okay. So I enjoy poking fun at that.
Okay.
But besides that,
I... It's a little rude, by the way.
It's a little... Nothing against uncircumcised men, but, like...
I'll shoot on a lot of people, but not you, non-Jews.
No, I don't care, you know, do your thing, but, like, don't send me pictures of it or whatever.
Yeah, fair enough. If you're going to send an unsolicited wiener picture, you're allowed to have an opinion.
Absolutely. And P.S., uncircumcised men, make sure you, like, legitimately wash that shit with a lot of soap, because I swear to God, if I have to go down on one more guy that smells like dick cheese down there... I'm turning lesbian.
So you're not a Smegma fan, is what you're telling
me? Is anybody? Like, know. Come on.
Come on? Oh, puns.
No, don't come on. Don't come on anywhere.
Do you remember the first time you jerked off? What age were you?
Probably 11, 10?
That's right, yeah.
It was before I got into wrestling.
Yeah.
I was watching Married with Children because it was on at 11:25 at night.
Oh.
Yeah, you know that.
Was it Peggy or was it the daughter?
It was probably Peggy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those tight pants.
No Marcy, though?
No, God, no.
Looks like Bruce Jenner.
Which Marcy, isn't there?
Oh, Marcy's the
Marcy,
neighbor.
No, the husband changed, not Marcy.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely Married with Children, though.
Okay, now explain it to us, though. Take us back to that day.
All right.
Like illustrate the
I setting. I had some random, like, I was obviously getting boners all the time. I just didn't know it felt good. This is going to get real weird.
No one's listening, don't worry.
Yeah, no, I had, like, a rash or, like, a cut or something on my arm, and my mom was making me put polysporin on it.
Ooh, get a lubricant around.
And I guess I had Pauly's forehead on my hand, and I went to scratch my dick, and I was like, whoa, hello. So I put more Pauly's forehead on my hand, and I continued, and something happened, and I continued to do that at least 6 times a day for the rest of my life.
Now, where were you? Like, living room? Nobody awake?
Bedroom.
Bedroom? Okay, 11, so you had a TV in your bedroom, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mine was, and I remember it, I don't know the age, I'm going to say about 10, that seems like the appropriate age.
I figured you'd be like 4.
Let's go four. I might have been young, to be honest, but I remember I used to always take baths, and I'd bring in action figures, or just like Kinder Surprise toys. I only kept Kinder Surprise toys for baths, and I'd always bring in wrestling action figures. I remember the water like filled, and I'm just playing around, and then I remember when I was playing with like my little boats I got in a Kinder Surprise, I'd always make it float, right? And then I'd make it get a little wavier, right? So I remember to get it wavier, I'd let it float, and then I'd go to the front of the bathtub, like I'm sitting down, and I'd push with my legs and like shoot on my ass across, right? And then I'd shoot back, right? And I'd shoot, right? And I'd do that to make it wavy, like a wave pool. And then eventually I did it, right? Like I'm getting to be good at this. So I roll on my stomach and I start pushing myself. And as I'm pushing myself, I'm like, this feels great, and I don't know why. And I kept doing it and doing it and doing it. I remember water was going everywhere, and I'm just like, it just feels good. I'm just going to keep going. I have no idea what it was. And then it was like, it felt incredibly good, and then I remember it so well. All I could think about was my family. And I was just like, I don't like this at all anymore. But I did it every time I took a bath. Now, I took a bath up until I was like 16 because the scene in Psycho scared the absolute shit out of me when I was younger. I was terrified to get showers until I started taking showers in my dad's bedroom, and he's got like the cubicle shower with like the glass doors, so nobody sneak up on me. But that was it. That was the first time for me. Okay.
That's so fucked up.
Right?
That's
weird.
Yeah.
That's first time jerking off, I didn't even use my hands. I just.
That's not jerking off, man.
Masturbating.
No, man. If you like hump someone's leg at a school dance and you bust, then it's not jerking off.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe
you just,
maybe
just fucked your bathtub.
Well,
dude.
Maybe. So what was I going to say? Oh, and Mrs. Michael Rollins just introduced us to a video I wish I never watched. Olivia, do you want to explain what we just watched? It's currently on the TV.
I don't even know what you guys just
watched. We can watch it later.
I just made the search term.
Well, I'm on Google, and it says Japan Korean poo wine. And it about reads exactly what you think. It's about, well, the first dialogue in this documentary is a doctor saying, what was it, Mike? I believe he said, ideally, the feces comes from a child between the ages of 4 and 7. And beginning credits. That was how it started. Because their feces, the fecal matter is pure. And it doesn't smell yet.
And they've also been given medication for roundworm.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But, like, and then he specifically mentions that due to human rights violations, that he's not actually allowed collecting feces. So he, there's a mother that, what did he call her?
A liberal,
open-minded mother that is donating her daughter's feces to this medical clinic, and then he ferments feces in water, and like rice pudding, for 3 days, and then gives them to people with broken bones. And then when the bones get better, he's just like, see, it works. But, you know, like, bones get I think they would get better without the poo water. Or, you know, just, like, staying off the broken leg.
Yes.
Is every bone in their body broken, and that's why they can't resist drinking this?
That's why.
No.
That makes sense.
He was saying that the Korean poo wine was a great pain reliever and had 9% alcohol content, so I'm pretty sure it's just the booze.
So you just drunk off 4-year-old shit and heal all your broken bones.
So I wonder what happens when this person turns 8 years old.
The poo is no longer his Japanese Winnie the Pooh wine empire goes out of business.
Mike also thought it was funny that I don't like the word poo.
Me and Chuck Taylor wrestling, and the first cue we had was for Drew Gulak to come out. And when I signaled for my control up the late cannonball, it was going to be shortly after my hot comeback, which ends with a second rope moonsault. After that, Chuck Taylor would kick out my second rope moonsault and sell the corner, in which case I would go to the far corner and I would start tuning up the band and going control, alt, delete. And as soon as I start tuning up the band, I told Gulak that as soon as I stomp once for control, alt, grab my foot. And when you grab my foot, it's going to interrupt my kind of rhythm. I'm going to shake you off. Then I'm going to run at Chuck Taylor like I'm going for my cannonball. But since you've grabbed my foot and taken too long, he's had a minute to recuperate. And I was going to eat a big knee from him and then take a rock bottom. And that was going to be a falsie. So I'm there. We told him right before we went out, I was like, all right, watch for the second rope moonsault. That's your cue to get ready. He's like, okay. So I'm there. I hit the second rope moonsault. And I go to the corner. Chuck Taylor starts the other corner. I go, control, alt, delete. The same time I've done a million and one times, and everyone knows as soon as I finish the lead, I start running because I'm about to front flip and bury my ass in a guy's face. And I realize Gulak isn't there. So like a goddamn idiot, I just keep stomping my foot. I'm like, control, alt, delete. I look around a little, he's not there, and I'm like, spacebar, F1, command, and he's just not there. So now, not only do I look like an idiot, I've given away that we've fucked up a cue. So I run at Chucky, I eat a knee, take a rock bottom. He pins me. I'm laughing in the pin. He's laughing. I was like, ah, we're fucked, aren't we? He's like, yep. So we're laughing. And then the next cue was supposed to be right after that, I was going to fight up. Chuck was going to just push me to the ropes because Gulak was supposed to be out here at this point. I didn't hit Gulak. The spot was supposed to go right. I was just brushing him off. He grabs my foot. I brush him off. I run, eat a knee, eat a rock bottom. And now I kick out of the rock bottom. I fight up. Chuck Taylor pushes me to the ropes, in which case Gulak would be there to grab me. Gulak grabs me. Chuck would take care of the ref, kind of, you know, because refs are always idiots in pro wrestling, which is a discussion on its own, good and bad. And at that point, while I'm being grabbed up against the ropes, Tarrant comes out of nowhere, goes to hit me. I duck it. He hits Gulak. Then I was supposed to clothesline Tarek over the top rope. So now I've bumped Gulak and Tarek. So I start fighting back on Chucky. He pushes me to the ropes. Nobody's there. So Chuck grabs the ref. He's distracting the ref. I'm acting like I'm being held on even though nobody's there. Yet again, looking like a total idiot. And I'm just obviously waiting for something, and I'm kind of just looking, and nobody is there. It's not like Gulak's coming out. He's just late entirely. He's not there. So then I run at Chucky T. I eat a super kick. Then I eat a DDT. Boom! That's my second falsie. I kick out of that. After that falsie, this is what was supposed to happen. Because I look, Tarek and Drew Gulak are supposed to be bumped. I'm supposed to have bumped them, and the plan was for them to be selling entranceway side. After I take Chuck Taylor's second false finish, I'm going to sell into the corner. He's going to tune up the band like he's going to go for my finish, the control alt delete. But the idea was I was going to pop up like Raven does while he's running at me, slap the leg, give him a super kick. He sells out. He sells back again. Oh, my dog's going to step on my goddamn recorder. 1 minute. I hit the super kick on Chucky T, okay? He falls backwards. Then the super kick was supposed to force me back into the corner. And then from there, I was supposed to do like a fancy Dragon Kid Young Buck style vault over the top rope, jump to the top, and I was supposed to moonsault Tarek and Gulak out of nowhere, who was supposed to be selling there. After the moonsault, I was going to get right back up, go to the top rope, hit a diving top rope X-Factor onto Chuck Taylor. 1, 2, and right from there, Gulak was supposed to pull the ref out. I thought it would be good, you know, like, not only do I hit a dive out of nowhere on the two unsuspecting victims, I hit a false finish, and still, like the mighty heels they are, they still pull the ref out, and then from there, the ref was supposed to kick them out, and then I turn around into a low blow from Chuck Taylor, and then we're going home. So I go up top. So I give Chuck Taylor's running at me to give me the control of the lead. I super kick him. I look out. Nobody is there. Not Gulak, not Tarek. So I just go to the top rope. I was like, all right, if they're not there, I'll just hit the X Factor, and you're going to kick out. And as I go up top to the X Factor, Chuck Taylor just yells. This is what he goes. He goes, Gulak, get out of here. So Gulak runs, or he goes, fourth gun, get out here. So Gulak runs over here. So now I'm going to the top rope, but I'm keeping my eye open. And Gulak, he doesn't come anywhere close to me. He goes to the far side and sits down because he thinks the first cue's coming, right? So now I'm going to the top rope, and Chucky goes like, go catch his dive! So he starts sprinting over to me from across the ring to catch my dive, but I'm already set up to jump at Chuck. And I was supposed to give Gulak a moonsault. So now, trying to save face, I just fall off the top rope and give the worst, like, Macho Man double axe handle of all time. No form, no style. I basically just dead fish onto him. Then I go up top, hit the X Factor, and he pulls the ref out. The ref kicks him out, and that's it. And now, so Tarek has not shown up at all yet. So now he's being kicked out. Gulak's being kicked out. So I'm, like, leaning up against the ropes, yelling at him, acting like I'm all pissed because he broke up my my big falls, even though that's the one part we planned. And but we're just laughing at this point. Like, not one moment has come by where I was angry. I'm just laughing. And now it gets even funnier because as I'm looking at Gulak, as he's being escorted out by the ref, I can see Tarek peeking through the curtain. And not only is he peeking through the curtain, the look in his eyes of, like, he's, you know that scene in The Puss in Boots or whatever, when his eyes get really big and he's just like, oh, what's going on? What's going on? That's Tarek. Because he knows he's late and he doesn't know what to do. And he just looks at me, and I just look at him, and I just, like, wave my hands, and I'm like, don't bother, man. Don't bother. My grandfather died, my grandma died, and my grandfather died, so I lost, that's on my dad's side of the family. But when my grandfather died, my grandma was still alive, and not only did my grandfather and dad, not only were they both legitimate undertakers and funeral directors, they were the Christmas lights people, but I said that in reverse. I should have said, not only did they love Christmas, they were both funeral directors, but when my grandfather died, he was cremated, and we all went up when he died and went up to see grandma and whatnot, and we all handled death very strange because we all grew up around it, you know. Death is the family business, and we get it. We're not an emotional family on any level, you know. Like, if somebody cries, it's okay, but if you do it too long, we'll probably start joking, making fun of you. But when my grandfather died, he was cremated at the local funeral home. The funeral home in which he sold his funeral home to. It was the Sturrock family funeral home, and then he sold it when he retired. So we picked him up at his old funeral home, not the one my dad worked at, because my dad moved to Hamilton and worked at a different one. But I remember we had to go pick up his ashes, and my dad asked me if I wanted to come, so I was like, yeah, sure. So at this time, I'm with my ex-girlfriend, all the families at grandma's, and I'm just like, all right, we're just gonna, since Alora is so small, I'll be back in 5 minutes, we're gonna go pick up we're gonna go pick up granddad's ashes, and then, yeah, we'll be back. And so we picked them up, and I didn't realize they come in literally like a bag in a cardboard box. So I remember I got the ashes, and I was like, aren't we supposed to have it in an urn? And he's like, yeah, we're supposed to, but I'm gonna put it in since I basically do, this is my dad talking, he's like, I'll put them in since I do this daily, you know, for other people. So I was like, all right, I guess that makes sense. So we pull up in the driveway, everyone's inside still, and my dad gets the urn. Nobody knows we're there yet, and we're like, all right, we got to put his ashes in the urn. And we're in the back of his Buick Rendezvous SUV, and we're like, geez, we're going to make a mess. We need some kind of funnel or something. So I run in. I was like, anybody got a funnel? And my grandma is not doing a keg stand or funneling beer, so she's like, no, I don't know, why do you need one? It's like, oh, just asking, don't worry about it. So I'm looking around, I'm trying to find paper to make like a cone to funnel his ashes in, and I just can't find anything because it was just garbage day. And then finally I find this old oil funnel, so I was like, you want to use this, it's dirty. My dad's like, yeah, fuck yeah, might as well. So
we put this giant oil filter, and like this urn is not like Paul Bear size urn. It's like just a small little thing. It's almost the size of like a coffee mug. You know, it's not big. He wasn't an obese man. He doesn't got a ton of ashes. So little, there's a little hole in it, and then we got this like garbage bag full of ashes. So we're trying to pour it in. Not only is it sticking to all the bullshit on the funnel, like it's getting clogged and whatnot, and then we're starting to laugh, and now since it's clogged, it's backed up and the ashes are on the top, we're laughing, and then the air coming out of our laughter is blowing it all around. I'm wearing this black long sleeved like waffle iron shirt. You know, like waffle iron, I think that's what they're called. It's like what long johns are made out of, like that look, and it's just long sleeve and black. I'm fucking covered in my grandfather's ashes. He's all over me. Me and my dad were just like, he never did it, but I had to step back for a minute. I'm just like, holy shit, this is way fucked up right now. Way fucked up. But it was hilarious. And then we get his ashes in the urn. We go inside. We give it to my grandma. I cannot stop laughing. And then my brother, his fiance, and my girlfriend are all just like, what are you laughing at? They're looking at me. And I'm trying to, like, brush myself off. But it looks like I just walked through a sandstorm. And then finally, like, my brother starts laughing because he gets it. And then his fiance gets it. And then my girlfriend gets it. And she is just horrified. So I thought that was a little funny story to kill a little time. Goddamn much. I've never felt that gross in my life. And me and my girlfriend have a strict no farting policy. You know? I don't want to hear her fart, and I'm not going to fart in front of her, you know? Treat others how you want to be treated. When we have to take a dump in the house, you know, we do it like, it's like Bridge of Spies in this place, you know? People are tiptoeing to the toilet, you know, multiple flushes, you know, aerosol cans going crazy, windows open, like, we're weird like that, and I'm happy with it. I want to keep that. I don't want to walk in on her taking a deuce, you know? I don't ever want to smell that. I'll never be able to look at her the same, you know? Never, ever. And I try to keep that. The same goes with me, you know? If I have to take a dump and you're home, you know, I'm going to go to the neighbor's backyard and go in the back corner. I will squat in rose bushes if I have to, you know? Let's keep some kind of, I don't want to say secret, some kind of privacy in this relationship. So we have a strict bottom, you know, flatulence / feces policy going on. And last year at Christmas, I was so full. I was sitting on the couch. All my other family is in the dining room eating still, or just like kind of talking, and I needed to spread out a little. I'm on the couch. My girlfriend comes out. She's across the room. We're looking at each other, probably 10 feet away. And I was like, I feel so gross. And we're just like, I'm so bloated. She's like, what's wrong? You got a fart? I was like, yeah. And typically, she won't ask that. And if she does, I'll say, no. And it's not because I don't think farting's hilarious. If you're a guy and you're around me, let him go, you know? The playing field is open. But when you're somebody that I'm sharing a bed with and maybe even doing disgusting things myself down in that part, I don't want to hear, smell, or see anything coming out of those bits. You know, that makes sense. Even if you're another girl and you fart, I'll be grossed out, but I'm not the one banging you, so I'll get over it. So she's like, what's wrong? You got a fart? And I was like, yeah, I do. She's like, let it go. And she's like, calling me on, right? Not thinking I'm going to do it. I'm like, okay. Okay, I'm going to. She's like, go. It sounded like, I don't even know what is something I can describe this as. Put it this way. We were looking at each other across the room 10 feet away. Her hair was blowing back for multiple seconds. You know? This sounded like the bomb that was dropped on Japan. You know, probably louder, and probably more people lost their life. You know, cars outside, I could hear their brakes go, like, ah! We don't have a record player, but it scratched. And there was a moment of silence. My girlfriend's eyes grew so big, her balls almost fell out of her head, and she just stormed up and went downstairs to where my room was. And then everybody in the dining room didn't make a noise. And then all of a sudden, you know, amidst the cloud of gas, I just see my brother and my dad laughing their ass off. And then my mom go, you're disgusting, Kurt! Look, she's leaving now!
A listen to Brady Wedham's demo 1998. Search that on YouTube. We'll give out the link after this so you can find it too.
I gotta retweet the shit out of
He's in so many commercials that you'll fucking remember. But right before we did this cold open, he brought up a popular young lady's name.
Nope.
And he said he didn't want to talk about her, and then promptly drops her name just so.
What's her name? Hey,
Alicia Cuthbert.
Oh.
So. Why don't you just unravel that? You can even lie to us.
Tickle bitties. What does that mean? I gave her a couple kisses.
Yeah, where? On them?
I tried.
On the curtains?
I tried. That's as far as
the curtains?
No, okay. This, no.
The carpet's that.
She's a lovely lady. She has a very successful husband.
She's dating a maple leaf or something, right?
I think he's a senator now.
I thought
he was an oak leaf.
I'm not a...
Oh, you're funny!
I was literally like, I don't watch a lot of hockey. He might be. I don't know.
I almost got the gig pretty much for Popular Mechanics before I kind of buried myself and didn't realize it when I told him I couldn't swim.
That's so funny.
And so they flew me down to Montreal to do like a camera test and all that good stuff.
And we have to also keep in mind that 12 or 13, 14.
She was,
how old are we talking? Still banger.
Correct. I was either a year older than she was, or she was a year older.
At least finger, like we're in the finger banging to banging
stage. Oh, I'd lose my wristwatcher.
Yeah. Or it was vice versa. I was either 13, she was 14. It was back and forth.
So you don't have stage in your life.
Yeah. I made out with her and felt her over. So
you made out with her?
Yeah.
Now, like, where did you like make out with her?
In a hotel room. So my.
So you were doing the pilot or whatever.
Had a hotel room. Yeah. Her mom and her. Mom had a hotel room. My mom and her mom went hung out, and me and her hung out in one hotel room. And I tried to actually turn porn on.
God bless you.
God bless you.
That's the move.
Were you in her room or your room?
No, we were in her room.
So she would have got her mom would have got the bill.
Exactly.
Yeah. You
got the bill. Popular Mechanics.
Yeah, that's true.
Bill.
Absolutely.
But no one would even know.
Your parents, I know you're still adolescent, but like, I'd still imagine they're gonna be like, they're probably gonna try to do what they think banging.
Her mom would have got the dirty sheet.
Dude, I went.
Nah, his mom saw some shit.
Yeah, my mom's seen some crazy ass shit with me. She watched me go. Watched me go from an honor roll student at a private school, a private Baptist school, and being an honor roll student there, and being like a class clown, but always going straight and narrow, right?
Yeah.
And 3 years later, I'm like, whoa, when she's catching me in bed.
How old are you when you're doing whoa? You
know, I was third early.
Holy start!
Did you have your license?
Hey, Ben Hortons is here.
What's the procedure if you're attacked? They must go over
We're
something.
Supposed to hit the silent alarm.
Oh, just let them stand.
Just let you beat the shit out of you, yeah.
You try killing me if you get 6 minutes.
You can fight back, but yeah. They don't want you to fight back.
No, absolutely. For sure. No.
They're like, just avoid contact. Open the doors, tell them to leave.
You have an anti-fighting background, though.
Hmm? Yeah, exactly, yeah. You're an amateur fighter, what are you talking about? You're not seeing my XKW, bitch?
Same
thing
there.
Actually, there's two hilarious stories. One,
yeah, give them to me.
Is this guy used to be a bus driver like years ago?
So he came on.
So he has like dementia and stuff. Like he's all fucked up. He comes on with his walker.
And pan.
Well, you don't pay with walkers.
Yeah, walkers are free. What about canes?
They used to be free. Walkers are free.
The wheelchairs are free.
Wheelchairs are
and
free.
And the people at your place are wheelchairs free too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Buddy gets on, and he's just driving around, and then I guess he's taking shit, so he just drops her out, and just squat over
God
the seat.
Bless him.
Just drop the dump right in the
God
first seat.
Bless him.
Are you fucking serious? If you get on the bus, don't sit in the front seats. That's where all the old people sit, and they all piss and shit themselves in the front
really?
Seat.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I was
those seats are disgusting.
When I get the bus, those are the seats you fight for. God damn it.
There was Whoa, a, and then
he took a shit
just dropped and his name was Ray.
But you didn't clean it.
No, it wasn't even my bus. This is someone else's bus.
Oh, okay.
But it's like a legendary story. Yeah, but he just dropped a shit.
Trout.
Yeah. And the cops know who he is.
Yeah. Excuse me, I need off now. It smells like shit in here.
The other one is this bus is stopped and the bus pulls up behind it and the driver gets off and she's like freaking out. So the driver gets off and he's like, what's wrong? And she's like, this guy in the bus. So he walks over, and Buddy's got his pants down, just dick out in the Check middle of the up. Bus. So the driver gets out and he goes, put your fucking cock away.
I remember this.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
One day,
me and my friends. This is when backyard wrestling was getting in. And Elgin had his own league of backyard wrestlers.
Doesn't surprise me. Put himself over.
And we had a separate league.
Okay.
Right? Me and another fat guy, we were the Biggie Boys. I was XL and he was too big. Two G's in that. GG. And there was the Suicide Kid, Sexy Alexi, and we would all get in Justin Conlon's backyard, and we would be jumping off the garage, and my finishing move was I would drop my pants, shove my dick between my legs, go, "Mangina!" And then the whoever I was wrestling against would faint. That was my finishing move. Mangina!
I'll take that every day.
And they'd be like, "Oh no!" And like fall over. Like he couldn't handle it. Like, "Oh, it's the mangina!" Like, and like, so one day, these guys are like, "You know, we should try wrestling with Froebel and his crew."
Yeah.
That's Elgin. And we're like, "Oh." I was like, "I don't think that's a good idea at all.
I don't think he'll be jobbing to the mangina."
And then, because I don't think we were doing it the same way that they were doing
yeah.
it. And then like, they said, "Hey, Froebel, you want to do this?" And then he's like, "Yeah, let's do it. We'll have an in the park match. I'll bring a bunch of flower pots and fluorescent light bulbs.
Jesus.
Let's go." And we're like, "Okay." Like, "All right, let's see how this goes." So we all show up at the park. He has a homemade kendo stick out of like bamboo
okay.
sheets, right? And he's just like swinging. He's like, "All right, handicap match."
How old are we at this time?
Grade 11?
15, 16?
15, 16. Okay. So here's Mike Elgin before he's Mike Elgin, and he's got his kendo stick, and he's just like, "Okay, you and you, handicap match against me." Like, just excited to be double teamed and know he's going to kill us. And I'm just like, "Oh no. All right." He opens up the match, I kid you not, samurai sword, middle of my fucking head, just kendos me in the forehead. I'm like, oh God, and he's like, "Wrestling!" Like, he's just like ready to kill us. He chucks me down a fucking hill, starts beating the shit out of the other guy. Like, this isn't even wrestling, this is just him beating the fuck out of us in a park. And like he just like I'm like, "Oh God!" Like I'm trying to like climb up a hill. He chucks a flower pot down the hill. He's like, "I'm gonna break a flower pot on your head!" Like, I'm like, "What? Why?" Like, I'm so fragile. My finishing move involves me not touching you. It involves you looking at my tucked in dick. Like, why are you hurting me in a park right
this
now?
This is such a Moving forward, we did the weed brownie, and nothing happened, as you can tell. And so we turned it all off. We came upstairs. I was tired as shit, but that doesn't mean anything. Like, that's not unnormal for me, right? It was a Friday night. I work hard during the week. Waffles, you don't need outside. And so we came upstairs. We watched Hocus Pocus on the couch, and I'm, like, falling asleep. I look over. She's falling asleep beside me. But it's only like, it's not late. It's like maybe 11 o'clock. And then she's eventually like, "We're just falling asleep. Why don't we just go to bed?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's a good idea." So I get up to let the dogs outside, let them have one last shit before we go to bed. So I walk to the back door, open the door. They run outside. I close the door and I turn back around and look. And my girlfriend is frozen in the position she just stood up from. And she's just looking at me. And I was like, "What's wrong?" And she's like, "Oh, I'm fucked up now." And it hit her the minute she stood up. We were totally fine. The minute she stood up, she hit a wall, and she got fucked up. And immediately, not only did she know she was quite fucked up, she knew, because she's a little more experienced in this than I am. And, yeah, she not only knew she was stoned, she knew she had taken too much. So then we went to the kitchen, and she started snacking on everything, so, you know, I'm not going to let her eat alone. What kind of a gentleman would do that? So I start snacking with her, too. She's eating ice cream. She opened a bag of chips. We split a Pop-Tart. But she was eating everything. I just had a few things. Yet again, me snacking doesn't mean I'm high. I snack all the time. I don't have these love handles because I snack on kale and fucking, what else is healthy? Grapes all the time.
I like my high fructose corn syrup, and I've never met a bag of Doritos that I don't like. So I'm eating with her, and then we go upstairs, and she's, like, moving funny now. She's like, holy fuck, I'm fucked up. And I'm like, tell me what it is. I want to feel it. Maybe I'm experiencing it, but I'm not paying attention. So I'm, like, looking at the walls, waiting for the Stranger Thing monster to come out and get me. Like, I'm just trying. I'm trying to, like, feel off balance. Nothing's happening. I'm totally fine. So we go upstairs, turn off the lights. I'm lying down. I'm going to bed, and I can just feel her beside me, and I can tell that she's not, like, relaxed. Because I'm about to be passed out. I'm in the, you know, fetal position, just about to pass out, and she's beside me, and I look at her. I'm just like, what's wrong? And she's up against the headboard, just, like, staring. And she's like, I can't go to bed. And all the lights are off, and our room is pitch black. I was like, what's wrong? She's like, I just can't. I'm too fucked up to go to bed right now. I was like, well, but we're in the dark. Like, how bad can it be? She's like, that's worse. I can see everything still, but it's nothing's the right color, and everything's moving a little bit. So I was like, well, I'm going to bed, and if you're going to keep me up, go downstairs. So she goes downstairs. She watches The Office until, like, 8 in the morning. And I just go straight to bed, and she's like, I cannot go to sleep. So immediately, I'm like, I'm not high at all. If you can't, she's like, I want to go to sleep. I physically cannot. It's not going to happen. So I'm like, well, I'm going to sleep. I fell asleep, no problem. But I woke up at, like, 3 a.m., and the last thing I had to eat was a Pop-Tart when we were snacking. So I'm like, and those are dry as shit, and I didn't have a drink afterwards. So I wake up, and I kind of just, like, look at the clock. Okay, yeah, I know she's still not beside me. I can hear the TV going on downstairs. So I'm, like, trying to get back to sleep, but I can still taste the Pop-Tart in my mouth. So I'm kind of just, like, fishing it out with my tongue. You know, like, sorry for that gross visual, but you just, like, fucking old Pop-Tart in my mouth. I'm kind of just getting rid of it. And I quickly realized, not only is this an exceptionally good Pop-Tart I'm eating, it's probably the best tasting thing I have ever eaten. And not only is it the best thing I have ever eaten, now, with every, like, lick of the tongue taste of the Pop-Tart I get, I'm not only tasting this deliciousness, I don't even really like Pop-Tarts. But it's literally the best thing I've ever eaten. And now I'm able to dissect every single ingredient that I can possibly taste in it. I'm taking one taste. I'm like, there's a little cinnamon. Oh, there's a little maple in that one. Oh, there's the marshmallow from the s'more. There's the graham cracker. And I'm just like, I could have written you the ingredients in this, and even the, like, complicated chemical stuff. I probably could have figured that out if I put pen to paper and wrote something at that minute. But that was it. That's the only high I got. I went to sleep right after I woke up. She was beside me, and she was fucked up all day. And we had a concert that night, and she probably fully recovered. We took it Friday. She probably didn't make a full recovery, where she said, like, I feel normal, I feel good, until, like, Tuesday. ...16 years old. Continue with the story. So we're talking about Dancing with the Stars. He pushes me down. Like I said, he's trying, kind of checking my kidneys or whatnot. And before I fucking know it, old fucking lube finger over here pulls down my basketball shorts, you know, not hard to do with an elastic waistband, and goes knuckle deep into old hacker Scotty O'Shea's rectum and starts feeling around there for my prostate. And I remember this because of the funny conversation we were having. We were talking about Dancing with the Stars. It's the first time I've ever had a finger in my ass. Last time I've ever had a finger in my ass either. Can't say I liked it, can't say I hated it. But I remember at this time just thinking, this is weird. And I especially knew it was weird when I felt both his hands on my shoulders. But that's a fucking terrible joke that my brother said a million times. He actually lost his ring in my rectum. And when I told him, I said, hey, Doc, I think you lost your ring. He looked at me and said, no, I didn't lose my ring. I lost my watch. I'm still here. I'm just waiting for you to finish your laughter. Are you done? Okay, perfect. Yeah, so I remember just thinking, like, man, this is fucking weird. And I thought it was especially weird because, like, I had no heads up that I was going in there for my prostate to be checked, because that's what he was doing.
or at least that's what he was acting like he was doing. At least that's what I convinced myself he was doing. So regardless, and I just remember thinking, like, because he gave me no heads up. Like, I don't know, if you're going in for prostate, I don't know, maybe, like, the day before, her secretary calls you and says, hey, you're going to have your prostate check. Make sure, you know, you clean yourself out so he's not dabbling in the oil fields or anything. He's not getting stuck in the tar sands, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah, it's something. He didn't tell me anything. And especially because, like I said, I was going to the gym after this. I was in my gym shorts. So if this schedule was flipped around and I had just come back from the gym and then I went there, he might have to deal with the old mud butt and a little bit of swamp ass as well. So I remember just thinking, like, man, he really got lucky on my schedule today. But regardless, I remember I left that day, went to the gym, I came home, my mom's like, how was it? I was like, it's fine. But he checked my prostate. And I was like, oh, wow. Well, I guess it's good just to have it checked. And I was like, yeah, I guess it is. And I never gave it any more thought. I knew it was strange, though. And I remember it was probably a fucking couple of years later, and I told a story to my buddies, and they're laughing their ass. It could have been even shortly after, because I'm sure I made a Facebook status about it as he was fucking doing it. And I did some research, and let me do it right now. I remember looking up, like, early age for prostate check. And I'm pretty sure, like, 35 is, like, the youngest age. Unless you're going in there with, like, bowels problems or something. Something for him to look into it. Like, 35 to 40 is the earliest. Let me check. What tests can detect? Okay, my first link is telling me... it looks like it's about 50. So I was a little 32 years premature. Okay, age 40 for men at... What? Oh, this is risk. What's it saying? It's still saying, it seems like 40 is like the earliest you go to get your prostate checked. So I was 22, possibly 24 years too early. Half my age almost. I was getting checked too early. But whatever, I remember, like, I told this story. It was funny. It didn't scar me at all. People laughed. I thought it was fucking hilarious. It didn't open a new fetish for me. I wish it did. Because supposedly, you know, the prostate is supposed to be the male G-spot. And I wish it did something for me, but I can honestly say it didn't. And you know I would say if it did do something, because I got no shame. But yeah, so I remember that ended. And then when I did blow out my knee, what was that, 2 years ago, I had to go to him for an MRI to get a referral to an MRI. And he had moved locations again. And I can't remember where he was this time. He wasn't a lot further. Maybe even on Rymel still, just somewhere else. But I remember I walked in. And this time what I noticed is there was notices all over his office, in the waiting room, in the hallway, in every room, in the washroom. It said, the doctor will never be alone with you anymore, for whatever reason. I was like, that's a little fucking strange. But maybe it's like this new law, maybe he's teaching somebody. Fuck, I don't know, I don't overthink things. I don't think things, as you can tell by me mumbling and stumbling over my words. So I remember he came in, he had somebody sitting in the corner basically taking notes for him the entire time. I got my MRI referral, and then I was out of there. And, but I remember thinking that was weird. And then, it would have been my last week of work, so middle of December, I'm driving to work, and I put all this together, how, like, maybe, like, he's doing a little funny business. But I was like, yeah, whatever. And then, literally, I'm driving to work, I'm listening to, what was it, 95.3, Country 94.3 or whatever it's called, the country station in Hamilton, 94.7, Mike Fuller represent, and it says, like, every hour on the hour gives you the news, and it's like, local Hamilton doctor loses his license over something, 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 and it just keeps talking, and the entire time it's talking, I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if it's my doctor? And at the end it says, Dr. Anastasio loses his doctorate license or whatever. That's my fucking doctor. And if you think I'm calling bullshit on this, all you have to do is quick Google search.
This is,
I'll give you $20 to start this off.
This is fucking death proof right here.
What does that have to do? I will buy you Princess Leia.
Yeah, but they're liking our stuff. Oh, the Disney one?
$100. The Disney one that you want if you snort the song.
Oh, no.
$100. You've been complaining about your sinuses all night.
No, I'm not
snorting. I'll give you $100 cash to sort it.
I'll give you $1,000 cash. You let me put a dollop on my finger and go up your old mud hole with it. Check your prostate with
that's
sauce.
Two benefits right there.
Yeah.
You need like a line of sauce.
All right, Jeff. Shut up.
You're also going to blast Kurt's finger of your dirt hole.
Yep. I
better. This one was just dipped with a sauce. What are you talking about?
Oh, you want to trade? I don't want any fucking. I don't want to hear from you, Jeff. Yeah, you ready? Hacker Scotty O'Shea. You said you wanted to be on the podcast, right?
That sounds like me.
That sounds like you. Okay. So thanks for coming on. I appreciate you doing your first out-of-character interview. You know, I heard you on the Colt Cabana podcast playing that monkey bullshit, but I'm happy you gave me the exclusive rights to the first Space Monkey podcast interview out-of-character, and I think a lot of people are excited to hear it. What are your thoughts on it?
That sounds
Sounds like shit. You asked to come on the podcast. Like, I sent out a feeler, but you were the one that really wanted to come on.
How the fuck do you even get my fucking number?
How did I get your number? You called into me. We put this together. This was a two-person operation.
What the fuck you talking about?
What are you talking about? You said you wanted to do this. At Lucha TO, the night of the Royal Rumble, I was like, hey, we should do a podcast. And you were like, yeah, for sure.
Just been talking all that shit.
What? Shit. We talked about this. Why are you acting like this?
Yeah, you're talking shit. Let's talk shit quick.
All right. Well, we'll just get some answers. So, we'll get some...
5 minutes.
Okay, 5 minutes. I appreciate it. Jeez, you are so testy. You know, this is why I wanted you to come on your out-of-character interview, because I wanted people to get to know you, the real you, and, I don't think you're putting up the greatest first impression for people. Like, I just hope, for if anything, I hope you'll hang up on it. What are you talking about? Why are you... I just want to ask you some questions. That's all I want to do. Okay? That's all I want to do. Can we do this? Why do you need my address?
All you gotta do is give me an address, motherfucker. What the fuck you talking about?
What are you talking about? Give you an address? You've been to my house.
Give me a fucking address.
What address? You've been here. We watched pay-per-views in my backyard.
Give me an address, bitch. Go ahead.
All right, relax. Can we just get back into the, like, let's just talk, okay? You won the Young Lions Cup, correct? Jesus, I'm just asking a question. Okay, you won the Young Lions Cup. What was that, 2 weeks ago? How was that? Did you, like, what did a lot of people have to say about it? How'd you feel about it?
Oh, nigga, fucker!
What?
Oh, nigga, fucker!
That's not even remotely what I'm trying to... Okay, you're laughing. Okay, at least you're in a good mood. Young Lions Cup, though. Like, the question I have about that is... Young Lions Cup, isn't that for competitors being 25 years and younger? Is that right? Like, I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
What the fuck you talking about?
Well, all I'm saying is, I think you're older than me, correct?
Just been talking all that shit.
But is that true? Is that true? Like, I'm almost positive you're older than me, right?
That's not like me.
Okay, well, I'm 27, and if you're older than me, that would make you older than 25. How does this... How do you win the Young Lions Cup?
Oh, shit!
All right. I'm sorry. This is just simple questions.
Yes, go ahead.
You don't have to say that stuff. You know that. All I'm saying is you're probably too young or too old. Is it because you wore a mask?
I got so fucking mad, hoe.
Jesus. All right. Well, next question. At Alpha One Wrestling, you're dealing with an evil space monkey. If he's anything like your real life personality, I can't imagine how much eviler he could be, because you're pretty rough. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Motherfucker!
Okay.
I got your whole right here, dick sucker!
That's not, just answer the question. It's just simple question.
I got you, fucking man, hoe!
Jesus, mole.
Fuck, pussy sucker, bitch!
Alright, I'm sorry. Well, what are your...
Oh, I'm gonna be calling you, Chris! Oh, fuck this! My dick hurts! Make me so little, motherfucker! I will smoke your ass!
All right, well, I apologize again. Like I said, I just got a few questions, all right?
You got 5 minutes! Make me so fucking rare!
All right, right on. You're giving me another 5 minutes. Well, I appreciate that. So, your match with... I believe you have a blow-off match with you and Evil Space Monkey. But how was your match last show against Jim Nye? You did something like that.
No, you got my dick hard, bitch.
Okay, so it was a good match, I'm assuming. I guess that's monkey lingo for it went well.
Play with your motherfucking ass, bitch.
My ass or Jim Nye's ass? I'm getting confused who you're talking about here.
Fuck, play with your fucking ass, bitch.
All right, well, you know what? I'm starting to feel like this interview isn't going far, so I'm just going to let you go.
I can't wait to smoke this motherfucking barrel. My shit gonna heal and
milk
popping your motherfucking ass.
Alright, well, like I said, I'm gonna let you go. It's been a good talk.
Give me 2 minutes, I'm gonna put this clip in this motherfucker.
Alright, you can go whenever you want. Just thank you very much for the... Thank you.
Put your motherfucking dick on the side. Play with your motherfucking ass, bitch.
I'm sorry, I don't know what...
Hey, you know what, son? You like the one bitch got the keys to the jail, bitch. I want to put 2 3 pounds on my back too. They don't like shoot motherfuckers over the net. Meet me somewhere, motherfucker. You got 5 minutes. Meet me some fucking way.
I don't want to meet you anywhere. I just want to end this interview. It's been a terrible...
I'm searching for your motherfucking mouth and fuck you in your ass, homie.
Man, like, this was a bad idea. I want to... thanks for coming on, but, like, at the same time, no thanks. I don't think you've really helped yourself for anything here. You've been to my house! You know where I live. I don't know what the deal is. Alright, if you keep talking like... I'm gonna hang up and keep acting like this. Alright, you know what? Space Monkey, bye. It's been good. I'm hanging up. Virtual tour, and I always knew the room they hid in was hidden behind, I guess, a fake bookshelf. It was a real bookshelf, but it was a bookshelf disguised as a door. And I thought that just led to the attic. You know, I'm picturing these people spent 2 years up where Clark Griswold stayed when he got locked in the attic in Christmas Vacation. You know, like, that's what I'm picturing. These people stayed in, like, if you go and watch it, if you ever watched an episode of Friends, that's basically where they stayed, their apartment, like, the one with the picture frame behind the people, that one. Maybe not as nice, maybe not as modern, but really, like, they had maybe it wasn't a full-size kitchen, but, like, it wasn't a kitchenette either. They had everything. The rooms were a little small, and whoever designed it was a little on drugs, like, you had to walk through a bedroom to get to the washroom and whatnot, but still, like, wasn't nearly as bad as I thought. It was basically a house behind a house, and from the outside it looked like it was all one house, but it was really like a duplex almost. But I was blown away. Like, yeah, it's terrible what happened to the Jews, believe it or not. I believe is terrible. I don't know what your opinion on the Holocaust is. I think it's horrendous to try to make an entire race of people go extinct. But all this time I've been thinking these Franks have been living in, like, a crawl space, but no, their house is probably like 75% as the size of the house I bought, you know. And they didn't even have to go to work. Yeah, they didn't get time to go outside or whatnot, but, like, they had big windows and stuff. I don't know, it's even more impressive that the Nazis were this dumb and took so long to find them, because they were, like, hiding in plain sight. It's unbelievable. You gotta check this out. And don't, like, fact check it with anything I'm saying, because I'm sure, even though I did watch this tour, I'm describing it terribly. But it was fascinating. And the real kicker of it all is Anne Frank, she was, like, 13 when she finally died, you know. And, like, not only did she have this terrible story, 13 years old, you know, she's dealing with puberty, and, like, her body's changing, she's hiding from murderers for, like, a good chunk of her life. And then when she finally does die, we decide to let's go through her most private of possessions, and let's read and publish and distribute her diary to the entire world, and not just have it out on bookshelves, you know, for people to buy if they come across it. No, we're gonna teach it in schools. You know, like, this girl, what a rough life. We gave her no breaks at all. So Anne Frank, if I had a drink, I'd cheers it to you and Chester, because you guys, been through some shit, and spoiled assholes like me, are guilt-ridden, because I've done nothing all day but crank it a couple times, walk my dogs, and Windex the windows. So I walk outside, open the trunk, and I'm standing there. It's about, you know, 10:30 at night. I'm standing there looking at my trunk, squeezing my legs together like a son of a bitch. All I hear over the noise of the streets, so I'm out there for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then all of a sudden I feel something drop in my body. All of a sudden I hear like this, and right then and there I look up in the sky, go, oh my god, I'm gonna shit my pants right here right now. So with tight legs, I penguin walk to the side of their house, right?
in between two houses to the side, and I lean up against the brick wall because I'm sitting there going, oh my god, I'm gonna shit.
It's
oh my god,
happen. Shit.
So I take a couple deep breaths, and then I say, this is happening. Oh my god. So I drop my, it's completely black outside. I drop my pants to my knees, and I defecate all over the side of the house. And I'm hearing, because I can't see anything, it's completely black in between the two houses. I'm hearing splashes, right? And I'm hearing, like you've taken a 4-liter jug of pop, and you're just doing this. You're dumping it on
the milkshake from the man's hat is being poured out.
Plop, plop. And then after about, I must have felt like 40 to 50 seconds, I just went there with both hands, spread across the side of the house, similar to Jesus, right, in a crucifixion pose, with my legs out, I stopped and I went, when I saw the breath from my warm air come out, I went, now what? what do we do here, right? So I take my hand, because I'm leaning against the brick wall,
yeah.
Take my hand and I sort of try and scoot up.
Oh, so you're in a deep squat.
So I'm in a lean.
Okay, I see.
Get right? I'm leaning because I want to get my pants away.
Yeah.
So as I try and climb up the wall, with my legs sutured by my pants.
Don't even fucking tell me this.
Hit a certain point of the brick. The neighbor's motion light flicks on, spotlights me, and everything around me goes dark because now around me's bright.
Yeah,
everything.
So you can't see anyway.
So I stopped, and it was like a 1980s criminal on the side of a building doing the double stairs around. And then I just went, oh my god, I gotta get my pants up. All of a sudden, the neighbor's dog sees the light, starts barking incessantly. Rah, 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 rah. I panic, I reach down, I grab my pants, I start reefing them up. And as I start reefing them up, I slip on the snow and ice that's below me, and don't I face plant, chest first, into my own shit.
I love it. You get that laugh.
I reach up from the ground like a horror film. I look at my hands and arms and start screaming. And dry heaving, of course, because I'm covered in my own shit all over my t-shirt.
Now the gig is up.
I roll. What's it called?
Barrel roll.
Barrel roll into the side of the house. And then roll back again, because I don't know where the hell I'm going. I take my pants, I suture them up over my guts, I put my pants on, and again, like a walking dead zombie, start strolling back to my car, covered in my own shit. So now I go, well, what am I going
to
do?
Yeah, it's hard to pass this one off.
We're done. And I said, you know what? No, we're not done, because there's a 24-hour Walmart just down the street. So I go to my trunk, take out two or three gym towels that I borrowed, I cover my seat and the back of it. Just like I use their facilities. So I cover my seat with my towels, go sit in my car, and I had standard at the time, so I'm driving stick with a shitty hand. I drive to the 24-hour Walmart. I walk in, the Walmart greeter that's there is looking at me like...
And how covered? Like...
Oh, like, I just splattered all over
here. Like someone threw a drink on you?
Yeah. And like all down the back of my, like the small of my back, because I then sutured my, I pulled my pants right up.
Oh.
And I rolled around in it, so it's all in my leg, it's all on my shoe. So I walk in, the lady looks horrified when I walk into the Walmart. I calmly walk over to the men's department, I see a $5 purple pair of track pants, and I bought a $5, $10 white t-shirt. So I calmly walk over with two set items, go to the counter, and the young girl that was at the counter was completely mortified and disgusted as I stood in line and walked up and paid for it. Didn't crack a smile.
I'm just imagining you like nothing's wrong. Yeah.
I was dead. My eyes were dead inside. I had just experienced the worst trauma I've ever experienced in my life, and then I just laid them down. And then she told me what the price was, and I held up my debit card, and she goes, you can put the chip in there. And I put the chip in, and with my pinky, which I seemed to be the only shitless digit I had, put in my PIN, and took my card out. And then I didn't even wait for her to give me a receipt or ask me for a bag. I took the two hangers.
Thank you, sir.
Walked past the greeter again into the washroom, grabbed every roll of toilet paper out of the three stalls, and then proceeded to do the best cleanup job I could. Socks, garbage, pants, garbage, underwear, garbage, shirt, everything. It was like a homeless man went in there and just exploded and combusted is what happened. The toilet was, it was just, everything was a mess.
Oh.
So I put on my purple jogging pants and my t-shirt.
Great get up on date night.
Right, especially now because you're thinking February.
Yeah.
And I'm coming out now with Grimace track pants and a t-shirt in the middle of February. So I walk back to my car, I take the towels, and I strategically place them on the floor of the parking lot. Because there's no saving them. I get back into my car and I drive back to her friend's house.
How long is this
been? So before? This was about a 40-minute process.
Oh, wow, okay.
So I pull up. I walk in the house. No sooner do I walk in the house than they're all standing there, and my girlfriend goes, "Where the fuck have you been? Like, what are you doing? Where were you?" And then she stops and goes, "What the hell are you wearing?" And I look over her shoulder, and I say, "Thank you for a wonderful night." And I look at her, and I say, "I'll be in the car." And I walk.
That is the best exit you could possibly.
That's all I did. Yeah. With respect and dignity. Yeah. So... she gets into the car a couple minutes later. I don't even say anything, back up, and I start driving back to her house to drop her off. Well, I don't understand where you've been. Why are you wearing these clothes? Like, what the fuck happened to you? You're so rude. Didn't say a single word to her. She goes, "What? Like, are we even, like, do you still want to take the long way home?"
And no,
I looked at her, and I said, "No, thank you." I dropped her off, and she goes... I dropped her off, and she goes, "Are you even going to tell me what happened?" Like, and I said, "Nope." I shake my head. "Don't even say anything." So she gets out of the car. She leans back in, like, "Something's up. What happened?" And I drove away.
Oh, my God.
I didn't say anything. So I called her the next night, or the next day, actually. We talked a little bit. So a day or two later, I ended up telling her what happened.
Yeah, you have.
And I said, "Listen, do not tell your friend what I did to the side of their house. Do not. Please do not."
Let's pray for a tropical rainstorm in February.
So a week goes by, and her friend goes to her, because they work together. Her friend goes to her, "Oh my God, you wouldn't believe what happened." And she goes, "What?" She goes, "Ted was just going, he went to the back shed to grab a ladder because we were fixing something in the basement, and they backed onto a ravine."
Okay.
She goes, "So he went back there to grab the ladder out of this shed, and he came back, and some moose, like, exploded all over the side of the house. Just shit all over the house." So my girlfriend starts laughing. And I said, "A moose? That's exactly what you thought? The animal the size of a moose
couldn't have come from a human."
So the shit was not human, because I guess it was mashed and rolled and spread out into a large...
This animal rolled in its own shit!
They assumed a forest creature came in and shit all over the side of their house.
And they never, like... If I was them, I'd probably put the pieces together. I'd be like, "Man disappeared. There's shit on the side of our house. He's in totally different clothing. Didn't say anything to us." I'd be like, "I'm not a detective here, but my spidey senses are tingling."
Yeah. Well, I'm sure she told them once we broke
that's
up.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, that was
probably, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Plus, that son of a bitch. Remember that moose? Yeah, it was him. Yeah, I was dating that moose. Yeah, I fell in my own shit.